As Joe mentioned, we're in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the first two verses. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it.
Hebrews.
If you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, we want to look there at those opening verses in this chapter. There are a variety of exhortations contained within this chapter, and I believe that the Hebrew writer, who's been encouraging the Christians to look forward, not look back, to keep their eyes on Jesus, not drift back into the old law, concludes by just giving them a series of things here in these opening verses, at least, that they need to continue to move forward in and work on. And he starts off with those same words that are so familiar throughout Hebrews. Keep on. Here he says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. You know, this whole area of hospitality or entertaining and demonstrating love is so important. It's important in all cultures. When Vicki and I first went to Ireland years ago, and we were in Dublin, we were there only a week or two and met a lady at a bus stop, and she was intrigued with this group of Americans who were there in Dublin, and she very graciously invited us to come over to her house later that week for tea. And so we told her, yes, we would be there. And that evening, we were going to be at her house at 6, so we decided, well, we better eat supper before we go over for our tea. So we ate a big supper, and we went over to the house, and that's when we first learned our mistake. In Ireland, if you're invited for tea, that means a big supper. And so we had just eaten and went into the house, and she had this huge meal there before us. And in typical fashion of the older generation there in Ireland, she didn't even sit at the table. She stood, and every time there was an empty place on our plate, she put another heaping portion there. And so we couldn't tell her we had already eaten, so we ate and we ate and we ate. And we went home miserable that night, but we enjoyed Irish hospitality. Hospitality is defined as meeting another's needs, especially in a host-guest relationship. And hospitality has always been the hallmark of Christianity. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul said, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Peter said it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I suspect that Peter knew and understood what we all often feel when we open our homes, and there are things that can happen as you're preparing and as you're cleaning up that give rise to grumbling. So he said, when you do it without grumbling about it. Both Paul and Peter talk about hospitality as one way in which Christians demonstrate their love for one another. But you know, here the Hebrew writer takes it a step further. He challenges Christians to invite even strangers in, newcomers, those who may not be within your immediate circle of friendship. This is the kind of hospitality that I think the Hebrew writer had in mind when he talked about those who have entertained angels without even knowing it. We know at least on a couple of occasions in the Old Testament of individuals who did that. Abraham did that in Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 2. It says that Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. He didn't realize that they were angels. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my lords, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest here under this tree. And let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and go on your way. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three measures of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and he set these before them. Wonderful Middle Eastern hospitality. within this service rendered by Abraham to these three angels that just look like men, he offered a ready invitation. He washed their feet. He told Sarah to make some fresh bread. Now, it takes a brave man to bring three men home for dinner and tell his wife to get into the kitchen and bake a loaf of fresh bread. But Abraham had a wife who joined him in this hospitality, and she gladly served in this way. He took the best of his herd. No expense was spared, and he served these men in a wonderful way. Now, his nephew Lot would also do the same thing as these men went on to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the next chapter, Lot exhibited that very same spirit of generosity in taking these men into his home. With one added dimension, he brought them under the protection of his house. You remember the men in the city were after those angels, and he would not turn them over to those men, so he protected them, understanding that if the guest was dishonored, so was the host. Now, I don't know whether it's possible today for us to entertain angels without being aware of it. The Hebrew writer refers to that having happened in the past, and it's almost as if he says, do this because you just might somewhere, somehow, someday have an angel with his feet under your table. Again, I don't know if that ever happens or not. It's an interesting thought. We do know that inhospitable behavior throughout history was always seen as a mark of ungodliness among the people of God. In Judges chapter 19, it talks about a war that breaks out between the tribes in Israel. And Benjamin has created a situation that is untenable with all the other tribes in Israel. And the reason for that is because the citizens of Gibeah treated a traveler and his concubine in an inhospitable way. They were up in arms. They were ready to go to battle because one of the tribes had acted in this ungodly, ungracious, inhospitable way. Now, hospitality was always taken seriously by the people of God in Old Testament times, and no less so when we come to the New Testament. In fact, it was crucial to the very spread of the gospel. In those days, in the first century, people could travel freely throughout the Roman Empire, but they didn't have Motel 6s in every town, and it wasn't always easy to find a place to stay. In fact, the few inns that were available were typically places out of which prostitutes operated. They were not always the kind of places that a Christian traveling would want to stop. And so traveling evangelists, those who traveled with the Apostle Paul and with Barnabas and with others, they would stop off in the homes of Christians as they made their way around the Roman Empire. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 6, writes to a group of Christians. He says, perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. You know, that would probably send most of us into a little bit of a panic if we had a letter from a Christian that says, I'm coming to see you and I might even spend the winter with you. And yet, these Christians understood the need for that. I heard about someone who had a plaque in their guest room that said, how can we miss you if you won't leave? There's an old Swahili proverb that I like. It says, treat your guest like a guest for the first 2 days. On the third day, hand him a hoe. And I think sometimes that's good advice. In the days before church buildings were used, it was the generosity of Christians within that community that provided a place for the church to even meet. In 1 Corinthians 16, again in verse 19, we read about one of these homes that had been opened up as a meeting place for Christians. Paul wrote, the churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets in their house. What a gracious couple. They said, folks, on Sundays, everybody come to our house, and we'll have a time there together where we worship and honor God, and they shared together in a meal. And this is something that came around every 7 days. And here this couple opens their home on a regular basis to meet the needs of the Christian community there where they live. Hospitality provided for some very real practical needs in the early church. But behind all of that, it was a demonstration of love for God and love for His people. You know, when someone invites me into their home, And when they prepare a delicious meal and have good food, and when they talk to me and we enter into conversation, and they show concern about me and my family, I get the idea pretty quickly that these people really care about me. That's the nature of hospitality. There are lots of ways that we can demonstrate love for each other. We can tell one another that we love each other. We can visit people. We can send cards or make phone calls. We can help people out in time of need. But I can't think of any more effective way to demonstrate love than to have someone in your home and treat them as an honored guest. Now, you're already probably two steps ahead of me and you're saying, yes, but it's so hard to do that, especially in this day and age. It is so hard to bring someone into your home and have a meal for them. After all, most of us work all day and we're tired in the evening, and come home and then have to clean the house and get everything in shape to have company over. And we all value our privacy so much in this day and age. And that's true. But there are some things that are worth fighting for as Christians. Hospitality, I'm convinced, is one of them. There is so much good that is accomplished through Christian hospitality that it is worth going that extra mile and making the effort that is always required in order to do this. You know, there are things that can be accomplished in a home, around a table, that just do not happen anywhere else. I have been privileged to be in many of the homes of this congregation through the years. And we've had a number of you into our home, and I've been in places where we've all shared together like this. And it's only at times like that that I really get to know any of you, or that you really get to know me. I find out about your backgrounds. I find out about your family and your job and your goals in life and your struggles in life. That happens when we share together. In these kind of intimate surroundings that are found in homes. One thing that Vicki and I have enjoyed doing through the years, especially if we have newcomers to the congregation and we'll have them over and we're part of the Dinner for Six program, we'll ask the question around the table, how did you all come to know Jesus? How did you become a Christian? And you learn so much about people just by asking a question like that. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that hospitality was so important that it needed to be one of the qualifications for those who would serve as elders in the church. They must be given to hospitality. How else can a shepherd really know his flock? Now, I know some of you probably border on having anxiety attacks at the very thought of having people into your home for a meal because your house isn't large enough, or it's not clean enough, or the thought of cooking becomes such a major production that just is almost unthinkable. You're fearful that the conversation may lag in the course of the evening. And it's no wonder that so many people abhor the very idea of having folks into their home. And so let me just try to encourage you as a group of believers. And let me say this too. Not everyone can do this, and I recognize that. And it would be the last thing I would want to do to place guilt upon any of you who are not able to do that. And I know some of you, because of circumstances or because of health or other reasons even, are unable to do this. And God knows that, and He understands. But I'm talking to the majority of you who probably could do this if you would just step out of your comfort zone a little bit and stretch yourself just a little bit. Let me give you some suggestions that will hopefully enhance your willingness and your ability to be involved in Christian hospitality. Number one, if you do it, make it a family project. If you have children in your home, I'll tell you right now, there is no gift that will help them any more than to see their parents, these children, to see their parents being hospitable. It will enable them to be able to do this when they're grown and have a home of their own. So involve them and let them set the table and help with the meal preparation and be part of the whole process. And I want to say this especially to husbands, and I say it because I have been guilty many times of this. Help your wife You know, it's easy for guys to be like Abraham and say, "Hey, honey, put the bread on because I've got three guys coming over for supper." And then we wonder why our wives are not happy about being hospitable. Help with the preparation. Help with the cleanup. Make it a whole project. It's simply not fair if this burden falls on one individual. Secondly, understand the times we live in and be creative and be flexible. There are times when we simply don't have time to get everything straight and every speck of dust off of the Venetian blinds. We just can't do that. There are many today who just don't cook. I mean, that's why we have so many restaurants here in Springfield. And the idea of having to cook something that might not turn out right is just not a very pleasant thought. So just be realistic with what we're dealing with and just say to people, you know, we would like for you to come over after church Sunday night. Now, our house is a mess. You know, we work and just don't be too critical. And we're just going to order in pizza. And, you know, I have never heard of anyone who turned down an invitation because they felt the house might be a little bit messy or because the food's going to be brought in rather than prepared there in the kitchen. I think we just need to do this. Just tell people, you're going to have to take me like you've got me. And I'm afraid a lot of times our issue is more with pride than with anything else. Let's don't be prideful. Just let people see us as we are, and they'll generally take you as you are and love you for it. And then thirdly, I think with hospitality, just don't make such a big deal out of it. One of the best examples that I've ever seen of hospitality, some of our dear friends that live in Dublin, Ireland, and we've stayed in their home many times, even for lengthy periods of time. And I remember the first time we stayed in the home, Leslie Coffey is her name. She took us in the kitchen and she said, "Here's the cereal, there's the milk, there's the sugar, there's where the spoons are. Just help yourself." And so we learned to just help ourselves. And they just sort of let us do our thing, and they didn't wait on us hand and foot. Consequently, we were very comfortable, and they were very comfortable. I know sometimes we go overboard in trying to wait on our guests and do everything, and we make them feel uncomfortable, and we're worn out in the process. So often, if you'll just be relaxed and not make such a big deal out of it, it'll be better off. Some folks make you feel at home. Others make you wish you were. Lastly, understand the true purpose as Christians behind hospitality. It is not to show off our culinary skills. It is not to show off our best china. It is simply a demonstration of love and service in an attempt to draw people closer together. That's the purpose behind hospitality. You know, there have been times when we've been tired, and I know Vicki and I have pushed ourselves, and we've said, you know, we need to have such and such over, or we need to have this group over, and you go ahead and do it, and you have your dinner, and then as everybody's leaving and you close the front door, we always had the same comments. You know, that was really wonderful. I'm glad we went ahead and did that. We should do this more often. And we'll say, you know, wasn't it wonderful getting to know those people in a better way? In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings, there's the story of a woman, a widow, who was a hospitable woman. She prepared meals for Elisha. She built a little room on the side of her house so that when he came through there, he would have a place that he could stay. She showed wonderful hospitality. And you know, as we attempt to grow in this area of service and love, I hope we can be more like her. But let me tell you this, you're never more like Jesus than when you offer heartfelt, loving hospitality. After all, it was Jesus who said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you." He said, "I'm coming back, and I want you to live there with me in my Father's house." One day, you and I are going to be the recipients of the hospitality of God Himself, and how wonderful that's going to be. And so I hope that we can all model that kind of hospitality in the way we relate to those who are around us. I'm grateful for this church. This church models wonderful hospitality. So many of you do a great job in this area, and I've been blessed, and we've all been blessed to be recipients of that. This morning, we're going to sing an invitation song, and if you do not belong to Jesus Christ, I just think how sad it will be to miss out on the hospitality that He's preparing for us even now. If you're not a Christian, we hope this morning that perhaps you'll respond in faith to the command that Jesus gave. Jesus is the one that said it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If this morning you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll demonstrate our love for you in pausing right now to pray for you if you need to come for that reason. If you do need to come for any reason, won't you do it while we stand and while we sing?